So, let's go with this. We're speaking about, again, the rough passages here, and the Kashtim Yisham that seem a little bit, emphatic about the, I guess, the dark side, you know, of things, being the idea of there being no correspondence between, you know, the Avos, or, you know, that's particular, the early figures in Bereishis or Kal Yisrael, or later Kal Yisrael, between their behavior and his Galus Hashem. And that even when he talks about Nevuah, which according to the Rambam certainly requires preparation, and again, there's a debate, as I mentioned, from the Mefarshim or Nevuchim, whether, about a nuance, in other words, whether preparation default brings about Nevuah, or, you know, but of course it can be withheld, or even preparation, in the end of the day, requires an initiative on part of the Ribbono Shel Olam for Nevuah to take place. Sounds like a bit of like a Telzer Chakira within Mor Nevuchim, but a very important one. But in the end of the day, obviously Nevuah is associated, certainly in the Rambam's worldview, with Hakana, and notwithstanding that interesting argument. And it's also associated with Simcha, and we talked about, you know, Ivdu is Hashem B'Simcha, the Rambam Nechus Lulav, and Yerachas Chaim's comments, which I find very stirring. Yerachas Chaim has a piece where he talks about the brach of Asher Baras Sasson B'Simcha, the last of the Sheva Brachos, which he thinks is a summary bracha in Sheva Brachos, that it, you know, includes all the themes of the previous brachos. That's why he thinks that bracha is singular. You say that bracha even when there's no panim kadashos, according to the Gemara. Anyways, the Orchis Chaim also develops the idea that, you know, avodat Hashem b'simcha is like a very critical idea, and, you know, that it is indispensable to really appreciating avodat Hashem. And yet, when the Rav wants to kind of transition into, you know, away from the you know, philosophical, accessible, you know, Ribbono Shel Olam, you know, in science, Ribbono Shel Olam in nature and history, all of which are factors, and to show that that's inadequate, right, he contrasts it with, you know, the Gilui Shechina, but he makes the Gilui Shechina, you know, something which is unpredictable, again, which is in a time of crisis, a time of chaos, you know, and illogic, and it's totally unexpected, it's Bamidbar, all the things that we discussed. And what I was suggesting was that this is in order to accentuate the aspect of Ritzon Hashem, which, of course, generally in Jewish thinking and halachic thinking is very critical. The idea of Kabbalah Salmach HaShemayim and being a Mitzuveh, Batel Ritzon Cha, but particularly I was adding that in the world of Brisk, you know, is even more, if possible, central than that. And again, Chazdo, Tuvo, you know, kind of dismissed, you know, for the sake of Ritzono, and then I was trying to explain that that links up with inner logic and with the perspective on Tami Mitzvos, which I was speaking about briefly, which we get some very, very extreme expressions of all the way back from in the time of the Beis Halevi, but again, in Rav Chaim and Rav Elbel, not so much in the Rav. Again, the Rav's big thing, as I mentioned, and I think it solves a lot of the Beis Halevi issues, Rav Elbel issues too, I'll show you what I mean in a minute, is to distinguish between, again, Tochen and the motivation, I mean the why and the what, and what I call Kiyumim. I think it also, this is my suggestion, but I think it's what's happening there. The idea of kiyumim is itself a kind of a what phenomenon, but while there is gray areas between whats and whys in some cases, but that's a critical idea, and the what perspective on Tamei Mitzvos is fully consonant with that central role of Ratzon Hashem. Because basically we're, if anything, it's even, you know, those kiyum are kiyumim in Ratzon Hashem. Because basically we're adopting that inner logic, and we're adopting, you know, the reconstructed understanding of what's expected of us, and we're shaping our ideas based on that instead of the opposite, which is, you know, we have like human logic, or influenced by other values, you know, and that becomes the basis to rationalize in a maybe semi-behavioristic way, even something we spoke about again a couple months back, you know, religious obligations. Like for a Brisker, and that's about, I'm using Brisk, you know, in a, I am speaking about Brisk very specifically, but again, speaking as someone who very much identifies with it, obviously, I think some of its extremes aside and some of the peculiar elements of it, but at least from my point of view, I think it really does capture in its own terminology, and that part matters to me a little bit less, but, you know, according to its own terminology, it really captures, I think, very accurately what is singular about Yadus's perspective on the world. So I'm saying Brisk, but I mean at the same time both the things that are a little bit singular and especially the things I think that are very persuasive. So Ratzon Hashem plays that kind of a role. So going back to the Beis HaLevi, as I said, he throughout the Perush Al HaTorah, he has numerous passages. I'm not going to go through all of them, but in some of the Yetzias Mitzrayim ones, again, he has this this idea about, you know, what came first, you know, Dinei Pesach or Yetzias Mitzrayim. I mean, we know it came first chronologically. I think there's no doubt about that. But the idea that, you know, the values, the mitzvos, etc., that somehow they drive the holiday is an extreme formulation. That part I'm not so comfortable with, but I do think it's fascinating, and I think it highlights, you know, in an extreme way, you know, the basic idea, which I am comfortable with, and I think that a way to moderate it and maybe mainstream it just a little more is to say that the values that we focus on in commemorating or celebrating, like historical events, are highlighted by those events, but again, they too have an a priori. Both in terms of their axiological value, meaning their importance, and in terms of the substance, the tochen, you know, they stand independent. So, for example, I'm just kind of reworking, not what they said, but what they, again, I guess, a way to make it work for me. Meaning, it's true that the experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim and the details of Yetzias Mitzrayim in its historical moment, Pesach Mitzrayim, are of course not only historically prior, but you know, the motivation, you know, for Korban Pesach and Chametz and Matzah and so on. At the same time, you know, the symbols, the halachic principles that are embedded in Chametz and Matzah and Korban Pesach and so on and so forth, and that balance were formulated in a way to bring out like timeless religious truths given the experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And part of the reason Yetzias Mitzrayim, you know, took place the way that it did was to project those themes and those ideas. So that isn't really so far, I mean, it's very far, you know, in terms of the sharpness of it and so on, but in terms of the significance of it, it isn't really so far from what they're saying. Anyways, just as you know, you inspired me to look back at the Beis HaLevi in Parshas Kisisa, he does have a very fascinating piece. You know, he discusses in particular why it is that the Egel, right, is connected with you know, Paraduma. When we say Yavo, you know, Zohav, you know, Hamishkan v'chaper, or Yo, you know, Yozova Mishkan v'chaper al Zava Egel, but we also speak about the Paraduma and the Egel being, you know, two opposite and parallels as well. So the question is, why these two? So one of the things that he says, Ashenir diyadua de bechol mitzvah yesh ba ta'amim bekavanos haromzim lesodos nistarim. Now yidei kiyum ha-mitzvah nasim tikus in kisisa tikunim ustarim bechol olam osval yonim. First of all, just a beautiful formulation about the impact and the symbols of the mitzvos and how widespread that is. Again, it's on the one hand Sivui Hashem, but what he's saying basically is that there's content. V'nei nitzvos l'dimyon mitzvah shomalach samishkan shahaya bo hashroas shchina halavada yishukom hashen asma v'kol pratav yesh bem tamim nelamim asherak mishalem v'kol pratim, right? Az hayaroi l'hashroas hashchina kvod yisvarach, right? Mishkan kula b'chlola v'kol kelav kalechad b'frat romzim l'sodos al yonim v'sistre maisar markaba v'sistre maisar bracious, etc., etc. So again, this is just a very beautiful formulation of the content of mitzvos, both Torah Nigla and Torah Nistar. Great. And he says, L'chora yala b'dasa adam l'fi seichol anoshi asherim hayinimtzav olam adam yuchad asher kva bab sod Hashem yodea sod sidrei bereishis v'merkava that yuchal avin me'atzmo mehem heich lasos ha-mishkan v'chal ha-pratim shebo. Right, min ha-muktam ala mukhar. So one could think that there'll be, you know, some amazingly attuned individual, right, who, you know, by training and by personality and Siras Nefesh and everything goes into it, is able to, to understand, to penetrate all of this. Inyan zehu, the bikshu Yisrael, az akre shiro, the Moshe haya omeid, bein Hashem, ubeinam, lo ba, right, Ratzulasas makom yuchad shei mesugal asher bo yashra shchinasa. So he says that is the problem of the Chet Egel, that they thought that, you know, if you had a perfect knowledge or understanding of the Sodos HaTorah, Tami HaTorah, etc., that you could, on your own, right, divine with a small d, but that's the problem when you try to d, small d, divine, right, you step on the borders of divinity, and that constitutes merit, but that's not his main point. V'od lo samchu al chachmas atzmon, v'kein hochu el aron ha-kohen, v'hu yada umek ha-dvarim b'sodo sehem yosu mikula, v'nim samach shaptim shi Yisrael hoi b'zeh l'tova, shi yizako idei melachtim zula ashras ha-shkina etzlam. I mean, taking off from the position of the Ramban, you know, who says that the Egel wasn't really a Barzara, it was a mistake. I always like to point out that while it was a mistake, it's still viewed as a kind of a Avodah Zarah, because of certain egregious mistakes that are, like, inexcusable, and it's also known with the merit. But that's, again, for another time.
It doesn't sound like that Egel was a problem, according to Ramban, though. It sounds like what resulted after the fact was the issue, but the actual Egel was no issue, according to Ramban. Sounds like afterwards they were Torah, like the Ramban began to hold Avodah Zarah.
Right. He doesn't say that so explicitly, but it could be.
So there are codes, right.
Yeah, meaning was it everything that was totally innocent, that wouldn't have been anything, but it triggered, right. The rest of it, as you say, like in the pattern of the Ramban of the Zohar, or was it that, it's close enough to Avodah Zarah. It isn't technically Avodah Zarah, but given what they're, this isn't true for the Ramban. I think it's certainly true in the if you take the direction of the Ramban, that is that given the experiences that they had, and the expectation that they would have a better understanding of these things. So al pidin, that constitutes a kind of a Avodah Zarah too, and particularly what I think is a component of Avodah Zarah, which is merit. But that, for another. But it could be. It could be another way to look at it is the Egel per se. I wouldn't say innocent, but is short of a Avodah Zarah. But the Becholos and the Shtakavoyos. Right. And everything it follows, as you say, is like the typical, like the Rambam describes the process. It could be. Anyways, but this is a fascinating piece. Amnam tau bazo taina tos acher. Dehin emes de maisa adam b'olam atachton gorem tikuni v'starim tovim b'chol olamus kula. I think is what you were quoting. What do you mean? I mean, he does think that, mitzvos have impact. Well, that isn't the issue of Tamei mitzvos. The question is penetrating them and what role they play. So kichen gazar yisbarach, habore yisbarach. Amnam kol zeh rak im osa hamaisa tzivsa olav Torah lasosa. So again, I think this is fascinating. He's not saying that nobody has this capacity. Like you could say, because you know this is divine law, and therefore, even if you know, you might think somebody who's so attuned, you know, could create this kind of a you know framework for Ashra Sashtina, but you know, no one can. What he seems to be saying is, I think what he's saying is that Tzibui Hashem is a prerequisite beyond the actual effective penetration of divine will. Yeah.
Isn't this idea of the avos maybe being the kaim mold kolta or kula before matan Torah? Like Chaim Volozhiner said, for example, that aver lishma was only kol in matan Torah. That kind of idea. That's the same sort of principle.
Because there was no tzibui then.
Right. And
so once there's a tzibui, then to do that absence.
Right. Yeah. And that's probably why also the Rambam about all the mitzvahs being redone, sort of.
Right. It had to be idea. Because the tzibui. Correct. So the more you understand that, again, if tzibui is just like, you know, we think we know what to do, but we're wrong. You know, we're inadequate. That's a very legitimate thing to say, also. But to chasrei ma'at me'alokim, you know, and even Moshe Rabbeinu, if he's not getting instructions, you know, but 100%. So I think this that's why I'm reading this. I think these are passages that really highlight again this idea of tzivui Hashem or tzon Hashem as a necessary validating component, even in the tochen part, that is not just about, you know, keeping you on the straight and narrow, being sure you don't make a mistake. We're not saying, oh, people can't do that. But Lu Yitzuri, they could. We're saying they could do it, and it would still be a chisaron, because part of this is the avoda and the ol malchus shemayim and the tzibui. And you're right. That's what happened. That's why all, you know, of voluntary mitzvahs had to be repeated in Maimon Har Sinai, because they had to become part of the tzibui. So amnam ta'uba zat ta'ud, that's their mistake.
And the idea would be that it's just too far beyond our comprehension, or
no,
we just don't care.
No. What I'm saying is, the way he formulates it is that it's not because, you know, the people think they can do it, but they're always wrong, because there's always an element that, you know, that they're missing. He's saying, and, you know, even if they could, it would still be invalid, because you still need Tzibui Hashem. Because it has to be an expression of Ritzon Hashem.
Right.
That's a more powerful idea. That's what I'm saying. You need that that imprimatur of Tzivu Hashem, of Ritzon Hashem, per se. So that's what he's saying. Klum da maisa mitzad atzmo lo yifal b'zeh sheyishre shkinaso aleihem. Like, even if you knew exactly what it was, you know.
Right.
You know, I think it's a little bit also like, you know, ilam mishpatim v'shertasim l'fneihem. You know, if they are kaos, I feel kishadineim kadineim. I think there's other reasons for that too, but if there's a kalashim component, Yisrael kaos. B, what I like to explain is that even if the particular din is identical, but because it's shorn from, you know, the rest of Taryag mitzvos, so even that din is different. But if there's a third element, and that is this element, namely, it's lacking the tzivu, even if the token is the same. I'm saying, A, the token isn't the same. B, if the token was the same, it's still Chil Hashem, because, you know, it implies that other authorities are equal. But that's the first, and that's the other one, second. But the third one is that Tzivui Hashem is part of what, you know, makes it religious. And so that's what these words, Klum Hamaisa Mitzad Atzmo Lo Yifol B'Zeh She'eshra Hashchina Se'olem. He's using this for Hashra Sashchina, but, you know, Hashra Sashchina, you could have said, oh, that's a special deal in Hashra Sashchina, because that's a magical, divine, you know, chiddush, you know, so that requires tzivui Hashem. Maybe, but he's using it as a paradigm, to be honest, for other things. V'ikra tikunim b'kol ha'maisim humash osa ritzon boro. That's the key line that I wanted. Meaning, it's all kiyum in ritzon Hashem.
Like it's a new meaning to like Rachmana Mertiku.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not just, you know, like, this is why we do it. It's that this is what we're accomplishing.
Correct. Yeah, so you were asking something? Yeah? Ubalaf ha'ke'enam rak tachboles enoshi b'kol hischach muslo yo'ilu mu'uma ki yomar lo matifal. Ba'adraba, od lachet gadol yechashev. Wow. Ba'korchach nechshil b'maseim b'yatzim menu egel. Ubezem mevur ma right shek shivakish Moshe Rabbeinu rachamim aleihem. Amar b'tfilaso reiki amcha goyazeh perush the gam chataam lo hayamachmas shiratzu. So he says that's the pshat that on Kol Prat and Prat the Torah kept saying Asher Tziva Hashem Etz Moshe Kasher Tziva. Again, we know that a lot of Barshanim say that. That's all true, but this is like an added twist. This is the idea that Ritzon. I'm saying when you have a worldview which says that Ritzon Hashem and inner logic is defining. So it's going to be even more so. The Maisa Mishkan Raivala Kaper Ala Maisa Egel, because it was so mefurat, right? Hagam the Betzalel Yodei Letzarif Osios Shenir Bem Shemayim Ba'aretz, meaning Betzalel could do it, right? He was trained well enough. Im Kol Zeh B'Malachto Yakol Kavanasam Rak Kasher Tziva Hashem. B'Zeh Yishmakom Lefariz Divram, and not because there is, and this is what you were saying last week, but that's what makes us even stronger. Not because there is no Tam, or because we can't fathom the tam, right? But because the tam, right, is not enough. So of course the motivation shouldn't be the tam, but also the tzivui and answering to the tzivui is like a critical component, separate from knowing the right thing to do and all the other things, right? Noyel avosenu lomar nasav inishma shem and noyel lehem omar elo lukecha Yisrael atmaha. That's a medrash. So he's trying to like, what's the mas shayach kavram yachad? But he's saying this exact. That's his pshat nasam nishim. My pshat nasam nishim is a little even more. But he's saying nasa means rotzon, and nishma means tamei mitzvos after the rotzon. That's the pshat of nasam nishim. Okay, omru nasa nishma.
What's Rabbi's
pshat? Nasa who kabbalah shekibla alatzim lekayim a mitzvah kefi asher yom tzuvim. Again, that's putting first in other words, Ritzon Hashem. But I'm ma'od v'nishma the gam yitnu leiv lil mod b'divrei Torah lahavin ome kadvarim v'sodoseha hapnimius shabahem. Okay, mine is a little more. I think that nasa v'nishma really means that the nishma flows from the nasa, not just once you've done the nasa, right? So then, the nishma becomes a critical and important thing. But I'm saying it as a kind of an inner logic, meaning our nishma flows from first analyzing and accepting the nasa. That's the ishalach idea. But I'm just imposing it on applying it to nasa v'nishma, meaning you have the halacha and then you reconstruct the details of it, and that produces the lamdas or the hashkafa, not the opposite way around. Like, oh, there's a certain way of thinking out there, and you what? Right. It's what I call the inner logic idea. So it's not the nishma comes from the nasa. He's saying more, the nasa, which is the tzivui component, makes the nishma not only acceptable and valid, but an important added component. I'm saying more. I'm saying the character of the nishma is defined, by the nasa. And then he goes, this piece, he is very strong about the value of Tamei Mitzvos. But again, I would argue that these Tamei Mitzvos are what ones,
it's
and not
why
ones.
It's not, piece of is not like Chorev Tamei Mitzvos.
Yeah, right. I'm saying he calls it that, Tamei Mitzvos here, but what he's describing, that's why I said the Rav's formulation helps here a lot, which is the what ones or the inner logic that they for sure, are not only they do not detract, they're basically expressions of exactly this point. Mizoshin is Kavni Yisrolo Beis Beis Kabbalasa Mikdi Menasa Nishma the Bitchil Omer Nasa Kodem Hashmia. Right, but kavana shekiblu alatzum anasis kimish ein lo shum avana klal v'rak mekayim tzivui shel ha'adon v'ach kachom rabinishma gam nilmod chelek zed einu avana avalenu asiyat liyah b'havana. I'm just going kind of a big step earlier. But you can see even in this formulation that it's about Tzibui, and even he says it's about Ritzon Hashem.
Where does basic Mishnah and Gemara come in this, in terms of like the mass of the Mishnah? In other words, kind of taking a jump to Mishnah, meaning like Tamiya Mitzvos, like why can't you just simply say that the Mishnah is
alumnus?
Yeah,
that's what I think. Like, that's what I'm saying.
Okay. I guess he's saying both Umek,
that's exactly
like
what
he's coming back to the Nishma, but like a much more fundamental understanding would be like Nasa, I'm going to pay the person Chati Nezek regardless.
Right.
The question is like
when he talks about Omek Havana, he's talking also about Omek Havana the longest. He mean here in this piece, and he's also talking in a broader way about, Nigla Nista Tame and so on.
So why is that necessary?
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. I hear that. Because I think it's also trying to, but right, I would say, to the extent that that's also true and helpful, then that's fine too. But I think first and foremost, and that's why we think of Ayas Tavai and Rava are really where it's at, as they say, for exactly that reason. So then he has a piece in the end where he says what I mentioned before, which is, why Tovo Poro Techaper Omaisa Ekel? Why those two, particularly? So he says, because Paradum is the ultimate Chok. So, in a way, he says that what now he's saying, which is a clever, perspective, is that the Egel was due to man's, downplaying, the Chok part or the Tzivui part or what I'm calling the Ratzon part, right? Lu Yitzuyor he's able to penetrate and fathom, right? And it's all very sincere. Right, so what we mean is when we say Tovo Paro Techaper Ala Egel, it's not the Paraduma per se. He said the Paraduma was going to be there even before. That's also typical, right? And what it means is the quintessential Chok is the Tikkun for the misconception, of the ego. I mean, the concept of Chukim generally, symbolized by the ultimate chok, Paraduma, highlights Ritzon Hashem, which is the prerequisite, the sine qua non for Tamiya Mitzvos or Havana, etc. So that's kind of the presentation of the event. Sorry, this is taking long, but so it's a general idea, much more than it is, Paraduma, very, very specifically and particularly. So again, in another in a letter in the back, in one of these pieces in the back, talks how accurate they are, but I think it does. He has something from Rav Elbel, where he talks about again the name of Rav Chaim. This idea again, what came first, the mitzvah or the tama mitzvah, and this is the murder thing. There are even sharper formulations of it, which I find a little bit troubling. This isn't as bad. V'yisod ha'davar al pi divrei Maran HaGrach. Right, Sha'amar, Dine Anu Yodim Shiesh Mitzvah Shem Kiyum Olam, Krika Ti'ina Tzdaka, Yisod Binyan V'Kiyum Olam, Midach Yesh Mitzvah Sol Tzaseh Shonim Azur Mayim, Osir Tzach Lo Sigzol, Averos, right, Sheim Churban Li'olam, V'nidmeh L'chor, Shalakach Tziv Satora, Avod Azara, I'm sorry, Alze, Kidei Shia Kiyum Olam U'Binyano, V'ziru Al-Kach Kidei Lemnoa Churban Olam, I mean, it's so obvious what these mitzvahs are for, and positive and negative. Aval, b'emes, and here's where it gets a little bit, again, more extreme or a little dogmatic, but again, it's, I think, the explanation is what I said before. Emes ena davar kein, ela nafochu. Shema akar sheish lo sasei shal ritzicha, bishum shekosim betor shasel lertzoach, al korcha ha ritzicha maziko mecharevah sasaola. That's a little bit extreme, right? V'chein ha'davar b'mitzase b'tzdaka b'shum shekosim b'torah d'mitzuf b'tzdaka korcha b'tzdaka maisa shemekayim esa olam ha'torah hi ha'tachnit shel ha'olam torah b'emes ha'yav shem livro esa olam b'ofen acher legamre. I guess here's the kosov ha'shlishi ha'machriya b'neim, meaning in the world as we know it and in our intellect as we've received it and in our our humanity and in Tzalem Elokim as it is expressed. So, kind of, it couldn't be any other way. But, Hari be'emes hay'efsher livro olam ba'ofen akher legamri, ba'ofen, again, this is even then pretty extreme, but ba'ofen sheretzicha yedavka kiyam olam utztaka yechur ben ha'olam, right? Ki ayad Hashem tiktzar. But as Reb Sajagon points out in his, you know, Emunas Medeos, absurdities,
right,
you know, are not flaws, you know, in omnipotence or omniscience. You know what I mean? So I don't think ayad Hashem tiktzar really applies here, but I'm quoting it because I think it's, you know, it's, you know, there's a kernel in it that I think is very true. And as I say, I understand like 80% of it. You know, the other 20% I think is a little over the top, to be honest. But it's, you know, it comes from a good place. And usually I think it's a very healthy and accurate perspective. Hinei lefi zeh be'emes kashal mashal matzinu tamim lemitzvos machar shadavar hu lehafach shabriya hi lefi ha-mitzvah v'nir de'enza in the sinas. This I don't like. I mean, I like the question, but again, the answer I would give is either what the Beis HaLevi just said, or more so, which is Kinnei Wixen, the difference between why mitzvahs and what mitzvahs. He gives an answer here that I don't like. V'nir inochanam in enza in the sinas tam la mitzvah shemishum tam zeh nemra mitzvah. You know, that I find. Dezeh lo yitachein el da'emes hu sheyef shel ahavim v'leida mitzvah v'tamah. That's not what the Beis HaLevi said, right? Again, this is very extreme. This part I don't think is compelling. I mean, it is true that, you know, we do the best we can. That doesn't mean that that's different what he's saying. What he's saying here is, you know, it's not the reason at all. There's some value, I'm not sure what that is, in like our feeling that this might be the mitzvah.
It's not just like mitzideinu, that's our, like mitzideinu as well as like mitzido, in terms of like a time of mitzvah. So like mitzideinu, that's the way we perceive.
That's the way we perceive it.
Yes, hargash,
it has nothing to do with reality.
Hargash is more of a, yeah.
That's what I'm saying, I find this a little bit, I don't know, I don't think you need to say it. I think you need to say partly what the Beis HaLevi said, and partly what the Rav said. Well, Yidei HaBriya, Shenivra L'Lefiyah Torah, I just wanted to share it because I think it's interesting. Lefi Torah nitna lanu hargasho ti'ima kol shiva mitzvah. Again, he said it in a bris, you know. I was saying it here. Avaloz shezehu hatam lamanemar lo sirtzach. Ma'achar shiva emes hadover enoke. Aleph shegam achri hatam adayin anu lo mivinim lama be'emes nivra olam ba'ofen zeh shiritzicha mecharevas also. Okay, that's okay. Korchach nitzarech lomar mipnei shekach, this part I like, haya ritzon abore. Okay, this return of Bori thing is everywhere and anywhere in these kind of, and again, just have to, once you're aware of it, then you see it everywhere and you appreciate it also because it's very. Bocha davar lehafach habriya hi lefiat Torah, Torah kodemus labriya. So in the sense that again, this is very very brisk, and again, this idea of, you know, Torah being a priori, all that I think is very powerful and very true, but some of the, you know, particular formulations and applications. Then he tells a story. Kfar hei maisa b'agras shkap, Rav Shimon Shkap, nasa l'kabel misra rabanus b'mlech, I don't know where that is. Ukeshebal lefnei agrach, bikshu agrach shiagid lo sadrasha shedorash b'boa li'ir anal. Okay. So, ratzalomar lefnei agrach, eskelek halacha shedorash. It's a cute story, right? He said, like, what did you say? And he started telling over the shir. Aval grach omer lo ki rotza lishmo adafkas divrei adrush. I don't know what that means, how are you supposed to take that exactly? But I think it's intriguing, right? He said, don't tell me your shir, I want to hear the drasha. The azamar grasha, dar shama shomru b'nei yisrael, na'asav nishma, ubir ba'ofan hazeh, ne'yesh mitzvah shimio sheish ben tam ma'avano, ne'yesh mitzvah schukio shem gzeres ha'kosuv. Okay? Ha'mitzvah sashimio s'mekayim yinosu b'yater cheshek, v'yislavus, v'alzeh amri yisrael na'asav. I mean, a different read on everybody's read on Asa Manishma is fascinating because it's a little window. It's such an important formulation that, you know, just tells you, and then a lot of them are also multiply true, right? So he said, so Nasa means Beislavus, the mitzvah sichlios, you know, the logical mitzvahs, the mishpatim. The Hainush Yasa mitzvah achukios. Right, so the point is that Alzeh Amri Yisrael Nasa Sheyasu Hamitzvos Hachukios Baos Chetchuk VeSlavos Kamo Hamitzvos Shel Nishma Shemavinim Tama.
Okay, very nice.
What?
It's such a different read.
Yeah. So anyway, but the best part is, so that's from Shimon Shkop's drasha. Doesn't say here whether he got the job or not. But then he adds that, of course, the whole point of the story is, you know, that Chaim was upset. So he said, "V'ramar alzei agrach, d'yikinei kishenov alahazra mitzvos hashiviyos alavia shabiyasiyasa nanu mitaknim ativin esa'olam," right? "V'amukubalim hosifu odes beirim," you know, "anu bonim olamo, slain shir, mirim beham." It's interesting, Rav will talk this way. Neighbor of Chaim. "Achein be'emes lo kein hu adavar." The whole thing is wrong. And then he quotes Mishnah Avos. "Nimsa kol ikar kiyum v'churban ha'olam u kiyum u'bitol maimar Hashem." Right? "V'nei churban ha'olam o'zerag grama. Kol kocho hurak b'zeh sheyesh maimar Hashem. Zeh shenachra v'idei asiyas aveira." Basically, Reb Chaim didn't like the drasha because he felt that he was imputing too much independent status and significance to the mitzvos shimios. I'm sorry, the sichlios. And he said, "No, that's not true. Yeah, there would be no reason."
They were showing it to it
all the time. Yeah. Right. I mean, that's a yisod in all the Rishonim, pretty much. But again, it's an extreme which comes from the place of the centrality of Ratzon Hashem. Oh, say it one more time. Sorry to get to that. Okay, so that's, I think, what this, you know, really was all about. All these, you know, again in the end here of this chapter, I don't know if we need to do any more of it. I'll start the next piece next time. But Rob, really, just one more second. "When a man seeks God, he is seeking an intellect that is beyond him. He wants his intellect to take note of him and to enlighten him about the universe, about his essence, the pain of man. But instead of finding the hidden intellect, he encounters the inscrutable will." "This will reveals itself to man. Instead of telling him the secrets of creation, it demands unlimited discipline and absolute submission." So you can see that this infinite, all-powerful will places man in a state of subjugation from which there's no release. The hidden intellect encourages the creature and comforts him in his affliction. The inscrutable will conquers and subdues him. The revealed will does not brook any opposition. Man appears as absolutely subordinate. Receiving the commandments, the acceptance of the commandment does not contain any feeling of freedom. It's composed entirely of compulsion. He placed them on, you know, Kofel and Archigigas, right? Kabbalah Satora Mutav, right? If not, and so on. Shomtiyat Furaskem. There's no refuge from God. He demands of man absolute submission. I try to say this in one of these, in a modern, they need to hear it. Don't get me wrong. So that is, I'll stop here, but the awareness of revelation, as noted, is manifest mainly in a fearful experience, right? It's not, then he says here, we'll just finish this words because it's, "In this realm, prophecy appears in the discourse of the Creator to the created. Nebuah is Nebuah, but again, because it's Ritzon Hashem, it doesn't imply, as it does in many religions, an attachment between man and God, like Dveikus, or what they call, you know, mystica union, you know, the union of mysticism. The discourse does not remove God's absolute separateness. On the contrary, the awareness of the abyss between God and man is heightened. Man is aware of his inability to cleave to God. The only link between them is the revelational discourse, and it's a one-way discourse, God speaking to man and speaking to man. So Hashem, Zivur. The awareness of revelation is noted is manifested mainly in a fearful experience. Fear and trembling came upon me, causing all my bones to quake with fright." This is a pasuk in Eo, right? "The night of horror and torment, and out of silence a voice is heard. Fright envelops the one who sees. An obscure dimness covers everything. Out of dimness the infinite reveals himself." Quoting from Daniel, "As the sun was about to set, a great dark dread descended upon him," etc. So of course, I mean, we'll get to the happier, you know, parts as we go forward, but this is like a very critical, necessary linchpin in halachic, you know, and hashkafic thinking, and that is this idea of Ratzon Hashem, Tzivui Hashem, Kamalos Hamalchus Shemayim, Shibud, Batel Ratzon Kol Ratzono.
once you accept that, and you have this in Isha Halacha too, then as kind of an insider, you know, within that framework, you know, man has creativity, man has autonomy, man has, you know, as the contributions to make, it becomes a junior partner of the Rabbonu Shel Olam. That's the...
It's so hard to... It's a very hard read because it doesn't...
It doesn't sound like that's happening,
right?
Like in what I just read.
Yeah.
Right. So it's again, it's this oscillation. It's these steps, the bikashta bisham, of, you know, this and then that, and they're all different, right. But it's all part of the phenomenology of reaching out, of doing the impossible but the necessary reaching out. So it's religion as a complex process, and that's what halacha is. It's the complex methodological process of reaching out to the Rosh Hashanah. So, okay. Very good.
Thank you.